Everybody gets knocked down in life. It happens. It happens. It hurts. Hurts our ego, hurts our pride, hurts our spirit, hurts other areas in our life, but it happens. And this is a classic, what you just saw, but it's true. And he said, really, it's not how hard you get hit, but it's how hard you keep on fighting and getting back up and moving forward. So I've come today with what I feel is a word from the Lord. And you may say, well, I'm not down, Rob. I'm actually up right now. Well, good. Because let me just forewarn you, you will fall. You will get knocked down. Life is not fair. Man, life hurts. Life is difficult. Situations, man, just wear you out. I'm glad you're up. I'm glad you're doing good. I'm glad you're strong. But you're going to have to go back to this message. You're going to have to bookmark this podcast today. Okay? Let's look at our text. Our text is found in Micah, the 7th chapter, verse number 8. Micah chapter 7, verse number 8. Here's what the minor prophet says. Rejoice not against me. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy, when I fall. Notice it doesn't say, if I fall. When I fall. This is what he says. Look what he says. Does it say that? I may get up. I'll try to get up. I'll pray about it. I'll quit church. I'll find something else. No, it says, when I fall, I shall arise. Look at your neighbor and say, I shall arise. And then he says, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. There's going to be times in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your career, and even in your church, where darkness is going to settle. But while you are sitting there, it's amazing that he says, I'm going to sit in darkness. I'm just going to sit. I'm not going to make a stupid decision, because sometimes those stupid decisions put us in the darkness. We don't want to talk about that, but sometimes we make wrong decisions that put us down, right? But he says, the Lord will be a light to me. How many know that's hope? So I've come today to bring you hope. I remember Vince Lombardi, the Green Bay Packers football coach. It's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up. Someone once said, falling down doesn't make you a failure, but staying down does. So you're going to have to learn to get up after you fall. I remember when Christian, he's 21 now, and I remember when he was learning how to walk. It was a major event in the Yanok household. And Trisha would put him down and kind of walk with him and then let go, and he would take a couple steps, and then he would fall. And he would wear these Pampers. Remember Pampers? You okay? And when he would hit the ground on his butt, it would go, all right? And sometimes he would cry, okay? Sometimes it would hurt his feelings because he was trying to walk and he fell. But you got to understand, Trish and I did not go, yes, you idiot. You know better. You're not supposed to fall. Honey, we should get rid of him. No. No, we're going, come on, buddy, you can get back up. And we help him back up. Why is it that when we fall as adults, man, sometimes we don't know how to be that encouraging? Why is it sometimes when people fall, we're critical? Or when somebody makes a mistake, or when somebody sins, we're more critical than we are complimentary. When the church should be the biggest cheerleaders, we should be going, come on, you can get back up. Come on, come on, let me help you. And we'd pick him up and we'd start walking with him again. Then we'd let go and he would start walking and fall down again. We'd pick him back up. He'd start walking again. And all of a sudden, he quit falling and he started walking. Folks, I need to tell you, this is a human world. And falling down is just a part of life. Muhammad Ali said, you don't lose if you get knocked down. You lose if you stay down. You lose if you stay down. There's a lot of people in history that have been knocked down or who was down. I mean, J.K. Rowling, who is now a billionaire, who was homeless when she wrote the first series of Harry Potter and was turned down by multiple publishers for her book. She was living in her car, folks. How many know that you're down on your luck when you're living in your car? You're down, okay? When you're eating meals at a shelter, she was down. But you know what? She refused to give up, and she decided to get up. And now look at her now. What about Walt Disney? What if he quit it after he presented the idea of Disneyland in California? The concept, it was trashed by the experts. It was actually turned down 302 times by banks. They said, no, that's a ridiculous idea. It's not going to work. What if he stayed down? But he got back up. And aren't you glad? Right? Now think about it. There'd be no Disneyland. What about Howard Schultz? What if he would have stayed down when he was down or gave up when he had fallen with the company? 242 times turned down for Starbucks. Some of you would have a coronary right now if he wasn't around. Your double chocolate strawberry latte, no foam, no whip, whatever. I go in and I say, I just want a Pike's Place with cream. And they look at me like, what? Right? Turn down. Now what about Colonel Sanders? Gets his retirement check of $152 for the month. Discouraged. Down. Even thought about committing suicide and started to attempt it. He was presented this idea for his chicken recipe that people around him liked and loved, his family and some of his friends, but he was turned down 1,009 times for his Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe that's stinking finger-licking good. Aren't you glad he got back up? Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8, and 9 says. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. I'm living this verse of scripture right now. Matter of fact, every message I've been preaching to Gracetown, I've been preaching to me. And I'm preaching to me today, so you get to listen in, and I hope it's going to help you. But I'm preaching to myself. And this has been my scripture. We are afflicted in every way. We have just gone through the most difficult, darkest season of our church as of right now. We're in it. We are in the heat of the battle. Somebody asked me, I was with a bunch of pastors the other day, and they're like, hey, man, Rob, because they know I'm positive, and I'm on top of the things. Hey, Rob, how's everything going? I'm like, man, it sucks. And that was the truth. Sometimes pastors can't handle honesty. And I was just honest. But I said, here is the truth. I refuse to let what's going on around me get in me. Because everything around you is not going to be good. You may wake up tomorrow and things kind of go haywire. So we are in a crushing time as a church right now. And then we are in a crushing time as a family. We're afflicted right now. Our youngest daughter, who's a type 1 diabetic, you've heard me talk about her before, for 4 days since Tuesday, had been suffering with pain in her stomach. We thought she just wasn't feeling good. But the pain was so bearable on Friday, we felt that we had to take her to Children's Hospital, to the emergency room. And after 6 hours in the emergency room, trying to figure out what's wrong with her, after numerous tests, and they came to the conclusion that her appendix was inflamed and growing. So the doctor decided to admit her and then keep her overnight and do another check in the morning, which was yesterday morning. So they do another check, and it had grown double the size overnight. Okay? Hadn't eaten since Friday morning. Wasn't allowed to eat because they were considering possibly surgery. And so they took her into surgery yesterday afternoon. Of course, she was afraid. She was nervous. Her emotions were heightened. And actually, the surgery took an hour, but the recovery took over 2.5 hours, and we're like, something's not right, something's wrong. The surgeon finally came out and said, you know what, the surgery was good, but we found some fluid around her appendix that we're concerned about, that we're going to send to pathology. Oh, I'm like, okay, what? Okay. And then, you know, she's having a tough time recovering. They finally bring her back to the room, and in 12 years, I've never heard her moan and cry like this. I'm like, my baby is suffering. I'm like, God, really? It's not. It's okay that we go through things as a church body. I understand it, but God, really? Can you help us out here? Really? Does it have to hit that close to home? I'm kind of losing my breath. I'm bruised. Adrian! I mean, really, God, I've had some hits over the past few months. I've had some things said to me, done to me, done to my family. God, I'm like, really? I'm afflicted. I'm not crushed, though. Then he said, I'm perplexed. I'm perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down and not destroyed. And so they brought her in, and of course, my wife is super mom. She is. And she's also a nurse. She's graduating August 12th with a 4.something-something summa cum laude, top of her class at Ohio University in a bachelor's in nursing. So she's a nurse by trade. That's what she does. That's her calling, too. She kicked into super mom, super nurse, and she is helping the nurses. She was like, get out of the way. My baby's in trouble, right? And listen, get away from a mama who is going to take care of her babies, right? But here's man of God, faith. God's man of faith and power. I am bawling. I am breaking. I can't handle it. My son can't. He and I, we were like, we needed therapy, man. That's how bad it was. And cried, just it was broken. And so we leave yesterday, the hospital, me, Christian, my son Grayson, my other son Evan. Evan's 12, he's the twin brother. And Evan says to Christian, man, you and Dad were in there crying, huh? And Christian said, yeah. And I'm like, Evan, yes. I said, that's my baby, you know, and your sister was suffering and she was in a lot of pain and there was nothing that Daddy could have done, okay? And there was a silence. And he said, out of the back seat, yeah, there was. We could have prayed. I'm going to reach back here and backhand you, boy. My God. I'm pulling this car over right now. Yeah, we could have prayed. I was too distraught. You've been so distraught that you, really, you forget? Thank you, you're preaching prayer first. Yeah, that was, what? Prayer? Right, so that's just where we're at right now. She's still in the hospital. We leave Tuesday for Florida for vacation. We're not sure if she's getting out yet. They can't get rid of the pain. She can't hold down nothing. It's throwing up water nonstop. How many know that we're kind of down right now? That's just where I'm at. I hope that don't discourage you, okay? Because I refuse to let what's going on around me get in me. All right. Three specific times when life knocks you down is this: Satan attacks, uses his devices, uses people, and uses his demons. Yeah, he uses people and devices, and he uses his evil spirits. That's one way. Number two, self-imposed. Sometimes it's our own fault, okay? It happens. I've done stupid stuff, said certain stuff, I mean, and, you know, whatever. And then three, sometimes there's uncontrollable circumstances. Folks, but here's the facts. Number one, getting knocked down is a fact of life. It's a fact of life. It happens. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, in the world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You're going to have pressure and opposition and stress and anguish and adversity and affliction. It's going to happen. We're not going to avoid that in life. Number two, getting knocked down happens to everyone. It happens to everyone. That's why you should never be critical of somebody who's going through a difficult time or if they're struggling in their faith, or they're having a hard time, or they've messed up, or they've sinned, or they've whatever. You never be critical, because it happens to everyone. Matthew chapter 5, 45, he causes his sun to rise on evil and good. He sends the rain on the righteous and the rain on the unrighteous. All right? It happens. 1 Thessalonians 2, 18, Paul, listen, for we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. Paul was knocked down by Satan, hindered, means to break up the road, okay? But the key was, Paul never backed down. As many times as Paul got knocked down, he got up. He got up. He kept moving forward. He refused to be dominated by the attacks of circumstance and the attacks of the enemy. He refused to do it. Can I tell you, if you're in a struggle this morning, it's proof that you haven't been defeated. If you're in a struggle of your life right now, a struggle for your marriage, a struggle for your family, a struggle for your finances, it's proof you haven't been defeated. Number three, getting knocked down won't last forever. Thank you, God. Getting knocked down. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us, they're working for us, an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. It doesn't last forever. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to outlast your trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, so you better get up and go on. I think it was Charlie Chaplin who once said, nothing is permanent in this wicked world, not even our troubles. Not even our troubles. Number four, getting knocked down, please don't get upset with me about this, can be good for us. Can be good. Some of the greatest things in your life is when you get knocked down. Listen, 1 Peter 1:7, these have come so that your faith, everyone say my faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Remember this, sometimes you have to get knocked down lower than you've ever been so that you can stand up taller than you ever were. Remember that. Faith is always tested by our hardships and our difficulties and our misunderstandings and our disappointments. It always is. C.S. Lewis once said, God who foresaw your tribulation has specifically armed you to go through it, not without pain, but without stain. Think about that for a moment. I know people, sometimes they go through the furnace of trouble and it burns them, but then there's some people who go through the trouble of the furnace of trouble and it builds them. Do you know you have to decide? You make a decision. Is this going to make me weaker or is this going to make me stronger? Am I going to come out up top or am I going to stay on the ground? Or am I going to get back up? So here's three keys that you need to get up. Because when you get knocked down, because you will, you've got to get backed up. 1 John 4:4, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Do you hear that? What and who is in you is greater than what's happening to you. What's happening to me and our church, what's happening to our family, what is in us is greater than what's happening against us. We've got the power, we've got the strength, we've got the tenacity on the inside of us to endure whatever affliction, whatever trouble, whatever we're dealing with. We will come back up on top. Because when we fall, we shall arise. Come on, you need to print that scripture out, post it in your bathroom mirror. See that every morning. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. You know, you really can't appreciate life until it has knocked you down a few times. You can't appreciate love until your heart has been broken before. And you really can't begin to appreciate happiness until you've known a little bit of sadness. And once again, you when you've walked through the valley, you have a greater appreciation of the view of the mountaintop. So these things are sometimes necessary. And let me just give you the reason here why most of the time these things happen to you. Is because your trouble is Satan's desperation to stop you. It is. Because why? He knows who's in you. He knows what's in you. The attacks that are coming to you, it's easy to be religious and say, what did I do? You know, we had a couple idiots in our church in Tennessee that when our daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 5 years old, they wanted to know what sin she committed. And then when I looked at them like, you know what? Your pastor's about to hit you square in the face, right? Then they said, well, pastor, we're just so concerned. Is there some sin in you and Trisha's life? How many know religious people are idiots sometimes? Don't be an idiot. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm praying for you. Don't be an idiot. The truth of it is, this family has an amazing call on their life. That little girl of mine has an amazing call on her life and destiny on her life. And when, listen, when you're in the heat of the battle and you got some things falling apart around you and you're weak and you're strong, it must be that, man, the victory that's coming for you is so much bigger. Yeah. Listen, they only give big enemies to somebody that has a big reward coming. Are you hearing me today? So if you're going through hell and you got this stuff that you're just, man, struggling and you've been knocked down a few times, my God, something big's about to happen to you. The first part of Romans chapter 8, 31 says, what then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? So it doesn't matter that you've been knocked down. It doesn't matter that you're in a tough situation or you're about to go into a tough situation or you are on your way out of a tough situation. That which is in you is greater than what's happening to you. And you've got to realize it's only temporary. This too shall pass. It's going to change. So here's what you need. You need courage. You've got to have courage. That's like the lion from the Wizard of Oz. I want courage. He wanted courage. Listen, folks, and we laugh about that, but it's a daily thing to be discouraged, to take courage from you. Psalms 31, 24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. We're going to be faced with discouragement at times, which means to lose courage and to lose hope. We're going to be overwhelmed. We're going to lose heart. And when you're discouraged, it's so easy to want to quit. Discouragement left unchecked leads to depression. Depression unchecked leads to despair. Depression unchecked leads to despair. And that's where people, when they consider suicide or they do suicide, it's at that point of they're not just discouraged. They're not just depressed. They've moved to a level of despair. Listen, discouragement will say, what's the use of trying anymore? Why should I go on? Why don't I just give up and make the best of it, Pastor Kyle? Why don't I just throw in the towel? People were faced in the Bible with that kind of discouragement. Courage is this. It means to make someone capable of facing extreme danger or difficulty without reacting. It not only implies bravery, but dauntless. It also implies the ability to endure times of adversity. James Allen once said this, "You will never do anything worthwhile in this world without courage." Here's an encouraging word for you today. In Joshua chapter 1, 5 through 9, here's the most interesting thing. Joshua was at a crucial time of his life. He's being coached by God to make an internal transition to go from following to leading. And he's about to have a new battle that he's going to face, a new place, a new role, and a new position in life. And he is scared. But yet, if you read the history of Joshua, he is the toughest guy in the nation of Israel. He's the most militant, the most brave, the strongest, the wisest, and he was considered a military genius of his day. And watch what God says. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous." One. "Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and be very courageous." Number two, "Be careful to obey all my law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right nor the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." Three, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Four, "For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The reason why God told him that four times, because this tough guy, I'm sure when he came on the scene, there was music in the background. Dun, 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 dun. Ladies and gentlemen, Joshua, you know what I'm saying? And he is, you know why God told him four times? Because he was afraid. He was discouraged. So discouragement, which is an epidemic of major proportions, happens to everybody. And you know when it comes in? It comes in when we start evaluating negative circumstances. And we start looking at those situations with our senses and not our spirit and not our faith. Karl Barth said like this, "Courage is fear that has said its prayers." The manly prophet John Wayne once said, "Courage is being scared to death but saddling up anyway." That's what it means. Billy Graham, in an interview once said, "Courage is contagious because when a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened." So you got to get courage. You got to get courage. You got to quit feeling sorry for yourself, and you got to get up. Number two, perseverance. Perseverance. That's a key in this. Psalms 18:31, "For who is a God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed." You need perseverance, steadfastness in doing something despite that is difficult. I can't get over how some people just quit when things are going rough. "Well, it must not be God's will." Huh? What? Who said it would be easy? I have church planners call me on a weekly basis and drive into Columbus. Some of them fly into Columbus to sit down with me and want to know the key to church planning success. And it's like this: get courage and don't give up. Because it's going to be the most difficult and the hardest thing you and your family will ever have to do. But you can't give up. Listen, you got to persevere. You've got to realize, listen, extraordinary people have three dominant traits. They respond positively to all challenges and learn from their mistakes. They take personal initiative. And then number three, they have great perseverance. You can't stop. What if Steve Jobs gave up? We would be devastated. I mean, come on. Yeah, no Starbucks, no iPad, no Disney. What is this world coming to? But he didn't give up. Perseverance. It's always too soon to quit. Men, don't give up. Matthew 24:13, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, don't quit. Regardless of what life throws at you, you will come out on ahead. Look what James says in James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love them. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Listen to me. You will conquer only by continuing. So you get knocked down, get back up. You get bruised, slap some meat on there. You get the wind knocked out of you, sit down. You get weary and tired, rest. Don't quit, just take a rest. Something powerful about that. Perseverance, you've got to keep moving forward. The number three, my last point, and it's the ultimate, and that's faith. Because the reason why you're going through with what you're going through and dealing with what you're dealing with is because there is an all-out attack on your faith. See, the enemy thinks if he can get your faith, man, he can knock you out. If he can steal your, we had people that lost their faith and just fell away. But you're going to have to rise up. This is your position above your problems. Faith. We may get knocked down on the outside, but we got to get up on the inside. 1 John chapter 5, 4 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. You know what's getting me through with what I'm going through? Faith. I made a commitment to God in December that my mornings were devoted to Him and Him only. I used to get up, make my coffee, and turn on the news. How stupid is that? Fill my mind with junk. Because it'd keep on repeating itself. And so I made a decision in December. I'm done. I'm going to devote my first 30 minutes to 60 minutes to prayer, to meditation, to breathing, to scripture reading, devotions, and affirmations. And I started. And when I started in January 1, it didn't get good. It got worse for me. Everything started to go wrong. I'm like, really, God? I'm praying more than I've ever prayed in my life. Yeah, because pastors can get so busy with helping you that we forget to feed ourselves. We get so busy doing ministry. And I'm like, God, really? I changed my devotions, Pastor Kyle. I mean, consistent. I'm reaching into the scriptures and the Psalms and praying these prayers. And it got worse. And it got worse. But I said, you know what? I'm not quitting. Devil, this is happening. I'm going to keep praying. You want me to stop praying. You want me to sleep till late instead of getting up at 6. Matter of fact, I'm going to start getting up at 5. Bring it on. Bring it on. Like when Rocky's back there, like, come on. Faith. That word overcome means to conquer. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That word is hyper Nikos. Nike, number one company in the world today. LeBron just signed a $1 billion deal. How about that? Wouldn't that make you happy, huh? Right? Hyper, that's where Nike is from the scripture. He got it from the scripture. Do you know that, right? Phil Knight got that from the scripture. And it means to be an overcomer, a champion, enormous. That's what your faith does. No matter what kind of battle you are in, your faith will make you succeed. Your faith will help you. It's the art of holding on to things in spite of your moods and your circumstances. It doesn't matter what your mood is or your circumstances. You've got to hold on to your faith. Jesus said, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I've got 1 minute and 53 seconds, listen. Paul tells Timothy, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance to the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, holding faith. Stop right there. And a good conscience. He said holding faith. 860 AD, Nero is burning down, blaming Christians, burning down Rome. Disciples were being killed, hung upside down. You're calling yourself a Christian. You're dying. False teaching was being rampant throughout the body of Christ at that time. And Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, you gotta have holding faith. And that word holding is the word kutetio, which means to hold with a firm grip. So Paul was telling Timothy, Pastor Kyle, that no matter what's going on in the city, no matter what's going on in the culture, no matter what's going on in your family, no matter what's going on in your finances, no matter what's going on in your health, no matter what's going on in your church, Timothy, holding faith. Hold on. Don't let go. Well, what am I supposed to hold on to, God? You're supposed to hold on to what I put on the inside of you. That faith, that spirit, that tenacity, all that grace, that mercy. Hold on, Timothy. And if you keep on reading, he said, because there was somebody who let go, and the Bible said they shipwrecked their faith. People all over the church today is shipwrecking their faith because they're letting go of God. They're letting go of their family. They're letting go of their kids. They're letting go of their church. They're letting go of their pastor. They're letting go of truth. They're letting go of doctrine. They're letting go of morals. And he's saying, you got to hold on. And if you can hold on to that, no matter how bad the storm gets, my, you will not be moved. You will not be moved. I'm telling you, get a hold of God today. Get a hold. Have the kind of faith that you are not going to let go. Hebrews 10:23, hold, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. When you hold on, despite the storm, despite the problems, you will endure what is promised. Listen, if you give up too soon, you'll never know what you're missing. If you give up, you'll never know what you were going to be missing. Come on, somebody. Never give up. Never stop believing. Revelation said, hold fast until I come. Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he promised. For in just a little while, he was coming, will come, and will not delay. Watch this. And by my righteous one will I live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Look at your neighbor and say, quit shrinking back. Watch. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and to those who are saved. Hold on. Get up. I want to pray for you today. If you're here today and you say, Rob, you know what? That's me. Since I'm the preaching to myself, my hand's up. Is there anybody else brave enough to say, yeah, Rob, that's me. I've been knocked down. Life, circumstance, situation. Raise those hands right now. Look around for a second. Not to be embarrassed, but to know that you are not alone. Because guess what? All of us today, I'm going to pray a prayer. And we're going to get up. We're going to get up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, you've seen all our hands that went up. Some of us have been knocked down. We've been knocked down hard. But Lord, like Micah says, we're going to tell the enemy, don't rejoice. Don't you party because I'm down. I shall arise. I'm going to get back up. I'm never going to be the same again. I may have fallen, but I'm getting back up. I may be sitting darkness, but Lord, you're going to shine a light. God, you said in Isaiah, arise and shine, that the light is come and the glory of the Lord is going to shine on these people today. It's going to shine. It elevates City Church, and this church will never be the same again in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen. If you're here today, the greatest decision you can make now, because I don't know how people go through what they go through without Christ. We're going through it. I don't know how I would be able to navigate through some of the difficult situations over the last 6 months without God. If you're here today and you have never turned your heart to Him, He's not asking you to be perfect, but the truth is we've all sinned and we've all come short of God's perfection and God's glory. If you're here today, I want to pray for you right now. If you're here today and you're like, I need to make a new, fresh start with God. He's not asking you to change everything overnight. He's not asking you to be perfect. He's just saying, will you trust in me? Will you put your faith in me? Some of you may have been here, you may have prayed that prayer before, and you're not where you need to be. You blew it. You messed up. That's happened to all of us. With every head bowed, every eye closed right now, if you're here today and you say, Rob, I need to make a fresh start with God. I'm gonna count to three and I want your hand to go up quickly. One, two, three. Amen, amen, amen. And I want everybody to pray this prayer with me with the hands that went up. Father, in the name of Jesus, repeat that. I thank you for sending your son to die for me. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sins and make a brand new start today. Lead me and guide me. And I thank you for securing my place in heaven. In the name of Jesus. And everyone shout amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise for all the hands.